Council will come to order, and the clerk will call the roll.
Fish.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Leonard.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Adams.
Adams is excused for absence on city business. Susan, if you could read communications item 321.
Request of W.W. Terry to address council regarding bicycles and skateboards. He has rescheduled.
Thank you. Please read item 322.
Request of Gay Harris to address council regarding Mayor Adams.
Gay Harris? She is here? We'll skip over and go to 323.
Request of Michael Van Cleek to address council regarding the Portland Plan Citizens Involvement Committee.
Good morning. Please come forward.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Sorry.
No problem. Welcome. You have 3 minutes. Please state your name.
Thank you. My name is Michael Van Cleek. I'm a citizen of Southeast Portland, the Mount Tabor neighborhood. I'm also a small business owner here in Portland. I'm here to address council about the planning effort and the Citizens Involvement Committee. In the recent times, it seems like the city has really lost sight of our long-term vision, and we're focusing very narrowly on the present. There was an effort put out to recruit a Citizens Involvement Committee to get the city thinking about our 30-year plan and thinking about the future. 95 citizens applied, or 85 citizens, and there's been virtually no progress on convening this commission or on the plan. In fact, I understand that there's a proposal to cut 43% of the planning budget from the city. And I advise you very strongly to take a look at the Citizens Involvement Committee and the volunteer effort that's there, people who love the city, people who are intelligent and well-educated and who are ready to convene this committee to talk about what we want to see happen in the future of the city. It's a free resource right at your hands. The applications are sitting somewhere in this building, and it's not moving forward. I'm rescheduled to speak on that again on May 13th when the mayor is here. I have given you all a packet that contains a couple of things. Behind the poem on the front, which I'll get to, there's two articles about issues in city planning around the world right now. One is from the New York Times this past weekend talking about why now, right now, is the time for us to consider reinventing our cities. The second article is talking about what's happening in Paris around planning. And I encourage you all to look at that and create some vision. The other reason I'm here is because today is the beginning of National Poetry Month, April 1st, and Portland is a rich city of poetry. Poetry is the voice of a city's soul. Portland's full of poets in each of our 95 neighborhoods. I am going to consider starting a project where we find poetry that represents each of our 95 neighborhoods and get another vision of the city and what's happening in the 95 neighborhoods of this city. Hazel Hall is the grandmother, essentially, of Portland poetry. And I'm going to actually read a poem of hers. You can read my own poems later. But I'm going to read a poem of Hazel Hall, written in 1923 here in Portland. It's called To an Experienced Walker. Once when you walked through the spring, birds had a swifter note, and every flowered thing seemed quivering at your throat. What is your April now, but time when leaves are new, spurting from every bough with sunlight showing through? And yet this much is good, knowing their powdery death, all leaves must serve your mood, and none can hurt your breath. Thank you.
Thank you. Is Gay Harris here? We'll skip on to...
Yes, she's returned.
Okay. Gay. Good morning, Ms. Harris. You have 3 minutes. Please state your name.
My name is Gay Harris. I'm a resident of North Portland. I've been a practicing physician in Oregon for 15 years. I currently serve as medical director for two area urgent care clinics. I'm here to respond to some statements that have been made by city officials. We need Sam. This was a statement by Mr. Saltzman. Mr. Saltzman, we do not need any more lying, corrupt, power-grabbing keepers of the public faith. Mr. Leonard, you said Sam would have been elected if he had told the truth. So in 2005, when city staffers asked him about his relationship with the then 17-year-old boy, suppose he had told the truth. Something like, we're having a romance, but it's totally legal. We would never have voted for Sam Adams if we'd known the truth. And I say this with conviction because I voted for Sam Adams and I want my vote back. Americans are through with these kinds of politicians. We've had 8 years of George Bush, courtesy of a sex scandal. We surely would have had 8 years of McCain Palin if we'd been unlucky enough to have Edwards win the nomination last year, only to find out about his extramarital baby problem. Corrupt egomaniacs need to go away. The most ludicrous statements, of course, have come from Mr. Adams. I ask that you not judge me on my worst moment, he said, to the City Club to applause. 17 months of a prolonged, calculated, managed lie about an issue of direct concern to voters can't be defined as a moment. People need to work through their issues, he said, in response to an official who didn't want to meet with him. Like the dozen or so applicants for the job of city sustainability advisor who are beat out by a 20-something reporter with no qualifications other than her relationship with Mr. Adams. They can ponder the inverse meritocracy of the Sam Adams political machine, while less qualified applicants get amazing career breaks and $50,000 salaries, and they might even be asked to go down to the library and research the relationship between money and happiness at taxpayer expense, which was a project that Mr. Adams assigned a staffer a few years ago. Portland teenagers certainly have issues to work through, since Mr. Adams campaigned heavily on their problems, lamenting the high teenage dropout rate, and proposing mentoring as an education reform tool during his campaign, while using the word mentoring to cover up his sexual relationship with an adolescent. Counselors, you know enough to pass judgment on this situation based on Mr. Adams' admissions. Your silence on the central question of his fitness for office is deafening. Thank you.
Thank you. Carla, will you read item 324, please? Carla, I'm sorry, Susan.
Yes, okay.
We're so used to Carla.
Request of Richard Hartman to address council regarding a sewer matter.
Richard Hartman? Well, when you're going to address a sewer matter and you bring a large bag, we're worried.
Right.
Please just give us your name, and you have 3 minutes.
Richard Hartman, age 77, throw that in. I have a hard time because I have 3 minutes to talk about 5 years of hard work investigating the sewer system in Portland, from an engineering standpoint, and where the records are. Also, I'm getting near $1 million in losses, both in what I've paid and what I owe people over this matter. And the ultimate is the loss of my ability to commercialize my patent, world patented in places, that could bring in somewhere did it go out? Oh. $500 billion into the American economy derived from the sun energy. That's 20 years of work. That's going to go by the wayside, so that's collateral damage. Mr. Saltzman, I guess you're the lucky one to inherit me in the BES in a sewer matter that's been lingering. And so I noticed that you're on the agenda shortly hereafter to create an LID for the Royal Highlands. That would be this afternoon, I guess. I'd like to hear about it. Any of the Royal Highlands is going to get an LID or local improvement district for the sewer, for a sewer matter. I'm sure you'll inform them that it could happen that Mr. Adams will provide will call the parts of them or all of them private, because he might find a work permit that suggests that as evidence, and do so without the council's authority to declare this thing, and does it on his own volition. That's what happened to me, and that's what caused all this. Now, my question is this. City Attorney, do you want him representing this council with amicus briefs in a dispute matter between two business people that the city is not directed to? Do you want to support his use of a work permit that is in support that the city claims that this is a private sewer? So what do I want? Well, on May 13th, I have an appeal. That will extend the exposure of my matter by $250,000 if I don't prevail in that, to say that this is a public sewer and we have all the evidence for you to review here. So I finished with an April Fool's situation. This is a specimen, frozen specimen, of what we found in a storm drain directly over our place where we're supposed to have a thing. That's one of five damages that the city did to the lines that serve us. Furthermore, the April Fool's joke is, if I gave you a permit to look at and I said that property right there belongs to me, would you accept this permit as evidence of ownership of that property? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hartman. Susan, we'll go to the consent agenda. Are there any council members that want to remove any of the items off the consent agenda?
Some were pulled, right?
Not that I've been made aware of.
I understood, Dan, you were removing 339 and 340. Is that correct?
I think it was 337.
Also 337.
339 and 340.
You're removing 337, 339, and what?
340.
340. Any other items?
331, please.
331. Is there any member of the public that would like to remove any items from the consent calendar? If not, Carla, please call the roll on the consent calendar, except 331, 337, 338, and 339.
This is our new quarter, so I'm going to be reading you in the different numeric order here. So, Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye. Do you want to take these items up now, or do them after the time certain at 9:30?
Oh, I think I was going to have mine returned to my office.
And that was, you went
337, 339, and 340.
Can you read those three,
sure.
Susan, please?
337, authorized contract with Berger ABAM Engineers, Inc. for professional services for engineering, design, and services during construction of the Giles Lake Pump Station Reliability Improvements, project number EO8877.
You want to read all three of them?
Right. 339, authorize an intergovernmental agreement with Multnomah County not to exceed $124,764 to provide three residential treatment beds for those individuals identified by the service coordination team as chronic arrestees with primary addiction issues who have the greatest need for and demonstrate the most potential benefit from an inpatient drug and or alcohol treatment regimen. 340, authorize an intergovernmental agreement with Multnomah County not to exceed $924,596, provide chemical substance abuse treatment services to chronic offenders and for district attorney and parole and probation services for chronic arrestees.
If there's no objection, we'll return these to Commissioner Saltzman's office. Susan, could you read item 331, please?
331, authorize agreement with Union Pacific Railroad Company for the construction of the seismic upgrade of the North Going Street Bridge overcrossing.
Commissioner Fritz.
I asked for this to be pulled just so that citizens know what a good job the Bureau of Transportation is doing in this project. It's the Going Street Bridge links Swan Island to North Portland and was constructed in the 1930s. It's one of the top priorities for seismic upgrades. And the really great part is that the city's contribution is $300,000. We're getting $3 million in state funds and $1 million in federal funds in order to be able to do this project. Has a high level of confidence that the cost on the table is the cost that will be there. And I just wanted to commend the staff and Mayor Adams and his office for doing a good job on this.
Any further council discussion? Is there anybody who would like to testify? Sue, please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye. Passes. Sue, please read the time certain, item 325.
325, adopt resolution to lower city flag to recognize children who die from abuse, neglect, and other violence.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I guess in addition to National Poetry Month, April is also, and today is the first day of National Child Abuse Prevention Month. And with that in mind, I am humbled to bring forward this resolution. As a longtime advocate for children's issues, I continue to be disturbed by the number of children who die from neglect and abuse unnoticed. To honor these children and to increase public awareness about the number of deaths in our community, this resolution proposes that the flag of the City of Portland will be lowered each month on the date that corresponds to the number of children who have died during the previous month. Our youngest and most vulnerable constituents have no opportunity to speak out when they are abused or hurt. No one hears from the three-month-old who dies from neglect. Some cases, like 14-year-old Melissa Bittler, who was abducted on her way to school and strangled to death, receive many headlines and top news stories. Others, like Kiana Bravo Hamilton and Gabrielle Haley, don't make the news. We don't hear about their stories. Kiana's foster mom and dad beat her, did not get her the medical attention she needed, and so she died in their care. She was 2 years old and 3 months. Gabrielle Haley was also physically abused by her father. She was 1 month and 2 days old. Mayor Potter used to start city council meetings each week by asking, "How are the children?" We know our community is well, if our children are well. I want to continue asking that valuable question, but I want to recognize those who can't speak, children who die from abuse, neglect, or other violence. So in addition to the flag lowering, the first meeting of the month of every council meeting, I would read a statement as follows. This month, the flag of the City of Portland is lowered to half staff on the date to commemorate the deaths of the number of children in our city caused by abuse and neglect. If you know of an abuse case, please call the Child Abuse Hotline at 1-800-509-5439. If you witness abuse, call 911. I will also be posting that statement to my website. Let us together honor these children whose lives are extinguished. They will never graduate from high school or college, get married, or have a family. This flag lowering is the only honor they will ever receive. We have three people here today who each represent a different aspect of child abuse who will testify on this resolution. Kevin Dowling, the Executive Director of CARES Northwest. You can all come up at the same time. Captain Chris Uehara from the Family Services Division at Portland Police. and Rod Underhill from the Multnomah County District Attorney's Office. Start with Captain Uehara.
Okay. Good morning, members of council. My name is Chris Uehara. I am a captain with the Portland Police Bureau, assigned to the Family Services Division. The Family Services Division is made up of multiple investigative teams that include the Domestic Violence Reduction Unit, Elder Crimes Vulnerable Adult Protection Unit, the Portland Police Sunshine Division, and the Multnomah County Child Abuse Team, who I'd like to mention are here today. The detectives from my team are here in support today. I'm here today to speak out in support of the city flag lowering resolution proposed by Commissioner Saltzman. Between the years of 2000 and 2008, there were 24 child deaths that occurred in the city of Portland due to violence. Eight of these deaths were directly related to gang violence, while at least six of these deaths were related to domestic violence and child abuse. These numbers are unacceptable, and any movement that brings additional public awareness and education to these senseless acts of violence perpetrated against our children is a cause that the Portland Police Bureau greatly supports. I find it fitting to share excerpts from an editorial piece that appears in today's Oregonian that was written by one of my child abuse detectives, Brandon Kapuiki, from the Gresham Police Department. He's on vacation, otherwise he'd be sitting here also. Brandon writes, "The burden and moral responsibility to speak out, advocate, and fight for our children who are abused, neglected, and who die from violence belongs to every adult, every responsible citizen, and every government official. Child abuse is an unpleasant topic. We cringe at the thought of children being subjected to acts of unspeakable sexual deviance, physical, and at times fatal violence. Yet our communities must not allow that aversion to push this very real problem aside. The victims of these heinous crimes won't attend council meetings to provide public comment. They won't testify at legislative hearings to share their experiences. They won't organize rallies, circulate petitions, or launch media campaigns to rouse public support. They won't do these things because they're children and because some of their young voices have already been silenced by the hands of their abusers. But someone must do this. Someone must speak out on their behalf. I thank you for your attention today and for helping bring awareness to the issues of child abuse and the consequences that surround us and tear our community apart if we don't take the necessary steps today to speak out for our children. And I'd like to add that I hope that we never have to lower the city flag."
Good morning. My name is Kevin Dowling, and I work as the program manager at CARES Northwest. CARES Northwest is Portland's only medical program specializing in the medical evaluation and diagnosis of children who have been abused and neglected. We are one of the oldest and largest child abuse medical programs in the country. I'm here to speak in support of the flag-lowering resolution proposed by Commissioner Saltzman to raise awareness of the Portland children who die from abuse and neglect. It's hard to imagine anything more traumatic than the death of your child, except perhaps that your baby's death was the result of abuse, that someone killed her, and in many cases that someone was a person you knew, trusted, and loved. As a parent, you wonder why and how could this have happened. When a baby's death is suspected to be a result of abuse or neglect, the baby's body becomes evidence in an investigation. And as a parent, you lose your child again and again. For example, the body can't be left alone. We have social workers who have had the job of staying with the baby's body while the child's grieving family cuddles and holds it and says their goodbyes. Our medical providers have gone to the morgue to document signs of abuse on dead children. The trauma associated with such a horrific loss explodes in the heart of the loving parent and rolls over families, investigators, medical providers, social workers, and on across our community. And sadly, those who have been closest to the loss, families and professionals, often feel so alone. And that's why I'm happy for the opportunity to support the flag-lowering resolution. It's a symbol for the grieving mother, father, sisters and brothers, grandparents and aunts and uncles. It's a symbol for the doctor, the social worker, the detective, the child protective service worker, who have dedicated their lives to protecting children yet are the ones called upon by our community to be there when a child has died from abuse and neglect. It's a symbol that in our community, the death of a child from abuse or neglect is significant, that someone so innocent and precious has just been brutally taken away from us, that the life of that child meant something to all of us. It is a symbol that we, as a community, recognize that loss and that we stand together in our commitment to promoting the health and safety of all Portland citizens, and especially our children. Thank you.
Thanks, Governor. Roger. Good morning, Commissioners. Thank you for this opportunity to say a few words. My name is Rod Underhill. I'm a Chief Deputy District Attorney in the Multnomah County District Attorney's Office. Mr. Shrunk's office works with people like Captain Chris Uehara and his dedicated team of child abuse investigators and detectives. We work with CARES Northwest, Kevin Dowling, and the other medical professionals that work in that program. The work that we do is an effort to investigate, solve, and then prosecute those responsible for causing the death of a young child. I'm here to speak in support of Commissioner Salzman's proposal to lower the flag relative to the continued effort to educate and raise awareness to the tragic loss of these children, to not only their families, but to our community. Having been involved in some of these horrible crimes, shortly after the call to 911 comes in, I can tell you that the visions of a young person dead in either their home or, in Melissa Bittler's case, in her neighbor's backyard, are forever etched in the minds of those people that are called to those crime scenes. Those memories, however, pale in comparison to the loss suffered by the loved ones of that child. Whether the death was caused by a stranger, a person who assumed the legal responsibility for the care of the child, or the child's own parent, the result is still the same. The unnecessary loss of that child destroys their hopes, their dreams, as Commissioner Salzman mentioned, and no doubt destroys a piece of the collective security of our community. While my optimism is that we never have a month where we have to lower the flag on the date that corresponds with the number of children that have died that previous month, the realistic side of me knows that we will. Through Commissioner Salzman's proposal, however, we will be vigilant in bringing awareness to that loss in our collective continued effort to not have to do the process again the next month. Thank you.
Thank you. I also want to say thank you very much to the child abuse team members who are here today in support of this resolution. You do great work, and it's tough work, and I know this entire city council thanks you for your continued efforts.
Thank you. Do we have a sign-up sheet?
We do, and we have one other person to speak, Gay Harris.
Gay Harris. Welcome back.
Back.
You please state your name again, and you have 3 minutes.
Gay Harris, and I certainly won't need 3 minutes. I support this resolution. I think it's a great thing that you're doing it, Mr. Salzman. I would like to just simply say that there needs to be more funding to prevent child abuse. There needs to be a lot more funding for children. And the soccer stadium, I'm not exactly sure how that fits in with preventing child abuse, but one can argue perhaps that an overall commitment in the community to provide outlets for families and a symbol for children to know that people actually care enough to have sporting stadiums for them to go to is a positive thing. But I would ask that you consider, in view of this resolution, that the soccer stadium should go in Lentz, where they actually have children, a lot of children, and not near the Mac Club, where they don't have very many children. So if you would consider that, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you. Anybody else want to testify? Yes, sir. Please come forward.
May I distribute something to each?
To Council Clerk, please. Good morning. Please state your name, and you have 3 minutes.
My name is Eric Goranson. I'm a retired Oregonian reporter of 35 years. I've lived in Portland since 1960. 35 years ago, we bought a house on Northeast 22nd. We bought it because it was a lot of open space between my house and the next house. I'm trying to speed this up.
Excuse me, sir. Does this pertain to this particular resolution?
No. Oh, I'm sorry.
What are you here to speak on?
I found out yesterday that the builder is going to come in and start knocking down trees on the property within a week, and it'll lead to a whole change in the neighborhood's character.
Okay. Did you have a specific council item you wanted to address that to?
No, I
just wanted us to hear that. So maybe I will get Ty Kovach, who was just up here a second ago, to help you. We're in charge of the building regulations in the city, and I will connect you with him see if we can't help you. So yeah, I don't know if Ty is Amy Ruiz. This young lady standing back here, if you could go with her, she'll get you to the right people.
Well, I wrote you all about this on February 2nd.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you coming in. Anybody else want to speak to this issue? Yes, Victoria.
I'm sorry.
No problem.
Just
no problem.
Thank you, sir.
I take advantage of forums whenever I can as well, so completely understood.
Thank you very much for providing me a moment to speak to the council on this issue. I think child abuse issues are very important, and I commend Commissioner Saltzman for taking the lead on that issue. I find it ironic, however, that the council, the same council that will stand every week and talk about children from here on out and raise a flag in honor of children who have been abused, will not take the same stance and upbraid their own mayor, from whom they apparently take direction, for doing something very similar with an underaged teenager. And I don't want to let pass this irony being unfolded before our very eyes, before these people here at council today, without calling attention to it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else that would like to testify? If not, council discussion. Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to begin by saying that there's no one here who has greater respect for the work that Commissioner Saltzman does on behalf of children and his advocacy. He has been a champion at the county and now at the city level. And particularly with Mayor Potter leaving City Hall, I think Dan has picked up that mantle as well of bringing our focus to children and heightening public awareness of problems children face. I'm the parent of a 5-year-old child, so there are some things that for a parent are unimaginable to even consider. And the abuse or death of a child is unimaginable. And so this strikes me very deeply, the way I'm sure it strikes everyone here. But I will tell you that in private, I've expressed a concern about this resolution with Dan. And it has to do with the proposed use of the flag. I support all of the public outreach components of this resolution. I think they are perfectly reasonable, and I would even suggest we enhance them, and I would be willing to expend more money towards the important work of child abuse. But I find myself in the position of being somewhat old-fashioned when it comes to thinking about the flag. And when the flag is at half-mast, we think of certain events. And there are prescriptions on our ability to lower the flag, if it's the federal flag or the state flag, mandated by law. And I've expressed two concerns about this, which I believe is a wholly well-intentioned and honorable proposal. One is that I think that lowering the city flag on a different day of the month will not serve the purpose of educating the public, but I believe will confuse the public. And it is unlikely that someone who sees the flag at half-mast is going to rush home and go to the city website. I think when we see the flag at half-mast, we think of the death of a president. We think of some national calamity. We think of the death of a soldier. And so that's why we don't lower the flag very often. We are very judicious in how often we lower the flag. But the second concern that I have, and this is not easy to express because I am completely aligned with my friend Dan Saltzman on the purpose and intent of this resolution. The second concern that I have is that my outrage extends beyond the death of children and includes the death of the homeless individual last week, the woman who died last month at the hands of an abusive spouse, the soldier who died in a war that was unjust. And I could go on and on, but more importantly, I believe there are good people in our community that could make the case more eloquently than I. And I fear that if we lower the flag for one very noble cause, I don't know where the line is for the next person or organization that similarly feels passionate about drawing attention to a noble cause. And that is why I believe that we are very judicious in our flag lowering, because it is the most powerful symbolic statement that we have. So I want to support what Commissioner Saltzman is proposing in terms of educating the public and raising awareness, but I respectfully have a concern about the flag portion of this, which I think may not meet the goal of public awareness, but may also cause many others who are also well-intentioned to come forward and to ask for their flag lowering resolution. And I, for one, am not in a position to make those calls. I, for one, do not want to distinguish between the abused child, the woman who dies by an abusive husband, the victim of an unjust war. So that, respectfully, is my concern with this resolution, although I have the greatest admiration for its author.
Can I respond? Yeah, if I could respond to your concerns, which I appreciate, and you did share those with me yesterday. I think that, again, I think the reason we're lowering the flag is to what you're concerned about, creating confusion on citizens. I guess I consider creating awareness. I'm like you. When I see the flag lowered at half-mast, you know, my first instinct is to ask, well, who died? And I want citizens of our city to become accustomed, hopefully not accustomed too often, but when they see the city flag lowered, we're not talking about the state flag or the federal flag, simply the city of Portland flag. When they see that lowered, we want to build the awareness that, yes, children have died from abuse and neglect. They may not go to the website, but I think over time they'll be looking to see, and they'll know when the city flag is lowered that children have died. And I think this is an appropriate way to honor those children. To me, they deserve honor. As I said, this is the only honor they will ever receive. As to the concern about other people coming to us with other requests to lower the flag, you know, I mean, that's something that the city council can deal with. If other people do come forward, the city council, you know, I brought forward this proposal. If other members of council want to bring forward proposals from other well-meaning citizens, it's going to happen. I don't think this action alone opens those floodgates. I think, you know, each one can be judged on its merits, and ultimately the city council can make a decision about flag lowering. But I've always sort of, you know, this is a new approach, and I don't think we should let sort of the fear that the floodgates will be breached serve a sufficient basis to reject this approach. We can even evaluate it after a year and see whether we're getting other requests. But I do think that we shouldn't lose sight of what this is all about. It's about recognizing those children who have lost their lives due to abuse and neglect and calling attention, raising awareness to that fact. So I would hope you could support the resolution in light of this discussion.
Thank you. I have a question, and it's on the language. You just referred to children that die from abuse and neglect, but the resolution actually includes the word violence.
Yes, it does include
violence. And
like homicidal violence.
I'm sorry?
Homicidal violence. So anyway, if it's a young child who's shot in a gang, it would also include them.
It wouldn't include a member of a gang that was committing gang violence that was shot and killed but under 18?
Yes, it would.
Thank you. Commissioner Fritz.
This is a symbolic gesture being proposed, and I think it's very important to recognize that Commissioner Salzman has done so much practical to help children in our city. The Children's Receiving Center in the Gateway Urban Renewal District, passing the Children's Investment Fund not once but twice. You are the leader on our council for actually doing things which help prevent and help families in crisis, help prevent problems and help families in crisis. So it's amazing to me that having done all that, you still want to do more. You still want to raise awareness. You still are proposing this symbol, as well as having done all of these practical things. And I appreciate the clarification that we're talking about all violent deaths of anybody under 18. Is that's correct? My concern is that how will we count? That the statistics in the ordinance talk about 2005 and 2006, and so it takes a while to work through the justice system to find out whether a child fell off his bike or was the subject of abuse. So I wonder about the pain of parents whose child had a violent accident who are then counted in the statistics. I think that would be heartbreaking too.
Let me just clarify. It will apply to children who die due to homicidal violence. So in other words, car crashes, things like that are not included. And part of that is so we do have accurate data. The information will come to us through the Police Bureau's Family Services Division.
Of cases that are being investigated for child abuse?
We would make sure that, appropriate, the court process has resolved itself sufficiently so that it is actually a death by abuse or neglect or homicidal violence.
We don't know that, though, until the court process has worked through. So I'm wondering just the logistics of how to do this and how to make sure that we are appropriately counting and honoring those children is of concern to me. I'm also wondering, is it just the city flag in front of City Hall, or is it all city flags? Because the flag, for instance, at the convention center, there's the state flag and the city flag on the same guideline, so you wouldn't be able to lower one, not the other.
The intent is all city flags, and although we received that information from your office yesterday about the convention center flag, and I guess we can, if that is in fact the case, if they're on the same line, then we can probably leave the convention center flag untouched. But it is all city flags, which probably there's maybe 10 to 13. I don't know if you want to hear from Captain Uehara about how we plan to make sure that we're appropriately using the information in a timely manner, but also respecting the court processes.
Yeah, I would like to hear about that.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, District Attorney Rod Underhill. Yeah, both of you can come up. Because you asked questions that we've asked too, and I think
we're going to work with Rod Underhill's office and make sure that the information that we can release to Commissioner Salzman is allowable, or the process has taken its steps to the point where we're comfortable giving the information out because of sensitivity of the cases. So I understand your concern.
You could do that, if there's a death that happens on yesterday and we're going to be announcing, just logistically. And beyond the details, I'm worried about how we're being fair to all parties as part of this process. If the goal is to publicize what has happened, are we in some way affecting what's going to happen in the judicial system if we're counting certain deaths as child abuse deaths when that hasn't been proven yet?
One of the questions relative to proof is just, I mean, I don't want to have a question to you, but explain more kind of the process. I mean, there are different degrees of proof. One is a court of law following adjudication, and that's a proof of a different sort. But they're also, from the infancy of an investigation, these children are going to go to your state medical examiner's office. They're, quite candidly, they're going to be autopsied. And as a result of that autopsy, the medical examiner will provide a form and manner of death. And they will call it either accidental. They'll call it homicidal if appropriate. There are many subparts to, say, a determination that a young person has died of homicidal violence. That statistic alone, I believe, and I want to speak for Commissioner Saltzman, but I believe that statistic alone is the litmus test, possibly, for answering the question. The much more detailed investigation of who is responsible and what were the facts surrounding that homicidal death are maybe along the lines of what you're thinking, which are oftentimes extremely detailed and sometimes, candidly, can last for months and sometimes never be solved to the degree of which a court resolution is the end result. That nonetheless doesn't change the fact that the state medical examiner, you know, the people that we prescribe as the professional in that field in determining how that child died and what was the manner of their death would be determined to be homicidal. And I say that with understanding, just, you know, in all thoroughness and candidness, that even the state medical examiner, on occasion, although rare, will not be able to determine a manner of death. But as a result of that inability to determine the manner of death, that would then, by negative implication, not be a homicidal death. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it would be
information
that's determined by the state medical examiner that would serve as the basis of the information that the Family Services Division would supply to my office on a monthly basis.
The reason for my concern, Commissioner Saltzman, is that your resolution is really specific, that the flag would be lowered on a particular day of the month, which would convey to citizens the number from the previous month. And it seems to me that there are a lot of uncertainties in determining exactly, especially in that short of a turnaround, what those numbers should be, and that if the number matters, which it does because of your resolution, then I question the use of staff time in figuring that out so that we can get the right day of the month.
Well, as I said, I think the you know, we've thought about this issue a lot, and I think the way we're proposing it is a pretty straightforward way of the determination, was it a homicidal death. The staff time involved is really not great. I mean, we have people right now in the city who are designated to lower flags, so it would simply be those same people.
No, I meant in reporting the statistics and figuring those statistics out and reporting them to you.
I would ask Captain Uehara. I don't think there's a lot of staff time involved in that.
Yeah, there wouldn't be a lot of staff time involved, and any time that when an incident occurs that's questionable, our detectives are paged out and go to the scene, and at that point, then we start our process of our investigation and work closely with Rod Underhill's office on that. So the information that would come to us, whenever it came to us, I would be able to at least give Commissioner Saltzman's office a heads up that we are looking at something right now, and depending on the sensitivity and what we could or couldn't release at that time, we could make some determinations on what could be put out, pending the obvious ME's office, the decision out of the ME's office. Some of them, I guess what I'm trying to say, some acts of homicidal violence are very evident and very obvious. Others are a little more subtle, and it takes a longer time through the investigation to really find out and determine what had happened. So we would be sensitive to those issues, but what we're trying to do is call attention that this is going on in our community, and that we're bringing more education and awareness to it.
And do we want citizens, and this is directed to commissioners, do we want citizens to do something after they become aware? Is there a next step for what we're asking them to do after that?
Well, we want them to certainly be aware of how to report suspected child abuse or actual abuse. We want them to certainly, and through my website, we'll probably have more information about what a citizen can do if they want to get involved as a volunteer or otherwise with many organizations out there who work on child abuse issues. So we'll have that information. But I think we think that by raising awareness, that will continue to help, I think, the larger cause of preventing child abuse by increasing the awareness that it happens in our community. And I think as can't remember which one of you said it, but, you know, people, or I think you read from the editor op-ed piece that, you know, people tend to want to not know about this. It's not a topic that people want to talk about. And so we want to provoke the conversation by the flag lowering.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion? If not, Sue, please call the roll.
Just a question for you. Yesterday there was a substitute resolution.
Yes. Okay.
Shall we accept that first and then take the vote?
Yeah, I thought we were, the substitute was before us, but I do move a substitute. I hope you all have it. It's really doesn't change the substance of anything, just adds some more whereases about the number of child fatalities in the last couple of years.
Second.
So the
call the roll on the substitute.
On the substitute. Fish.
I'm going to vote yes to put the substitute resolution before council.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
So the amended resolution is before council. Sue, please call the roll.
Fish.
Well, I appreciate the discussion today. Frankly, I think this issue could use further discussion. It's a big deal when you talk about lowering our flag. And it is something which we do very judiciously and with great care in recognition of the power of that symbol. We have no greater champion for children in the city than Dan Saltzman. And I'm proud that he and I and others will have a chance to work on some very important initiatives for children in the months ahead, including funding programs for youth who are homeless, expanding hours for kids in community centers, expanding gang interdiction services, and on and on. On this issue, however, I cannot support this resolution as drafted. And prior to this hearing, I expressed a willingness and a desire to work on another approach that meets what I believe is the very laudable goal of enhancing public awareness. And I continue to be interested in finding something that would be meet the goals but would not involve the flag being lowered on different days each month. Again, I have the greatest respect for Dan Saltzman, and I have the same gut feeling on this issue that everyone else does about our children. But I am an elected official asked to pass judgment on a flag-lowering ordinance. I do not believe it has been thought through. I do not believe it is a symbolic gesture that will be well understood. And I do not believe that once we go down this path, we can draw a line and tell many other groups and individuals who have very compelling reasons to want to draw awareness that this takes precedent over that. And I wish to God we would not have conversations like this about victims, period, whether they are children or women or veterans or any group. I will support any reasonable approach to draw public attention to these issues. I will support funding because that ultimately will make the difference, but respectfully, I cannot support this resolution. No.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank Captain Uehara, District Attorney, Chief District Attorney Rod Underhill, and Kevin Dowling from CARES Northwest for being here. I think the testimony they provided was insightful, as much as it is tough to hear. Again, I want to thank the child abuse team for being here today, and more importantly, for the work, the tough work that you do day in and day out. It's very much appreciated. And finally, I want to thank Amy True in my office, who worked on putting together this resolution and thinking through a lot of the details that members of this council asked questions about previously. I do think this is something that, as I said, it's an honor. It's the only honor these children will ever receive. I think it's appropriate by lowering the flag to provoke the public discussion, and I think it will provoke public discussion and lead to people being more aware of child abuse and neglect and doing something about it. So I'm pleased to vote aye.
Fritz.
I concur with many of Commissioner Fish's concerns, And usually lowering the flag is to honor the life of the person who died. It's usually for honoring a government official for their service, a service person who has died fighting for our country, for very significant people, to honor the life and to mourn the death. And this resolution ordinance in many ways respects the death and calls attention to it, which is a different use of the flag. And in thinking about this over the past week, that the use of the flag was mostly my concern, and I was planning not to support this ordinance. In listening to the testimony this morning and knowing how many people are working full-time on amazingly difficult, both emotionally and legally, challenges in pursuing those who perpetrate child abuse in our city, I'm wondering if there's that much harm in trying this for a year and seeing whether, in fact, it does raise awareness. And I would ask Commissioner Saltzman's office that we will have, unfortunately, National Child Abuse Awareness Month in April next year. And so I'm willing to support this ordinance, hoping that we can revisit it next year and find out whether, in fact, it has made any difference to the awareness of people in the city of Portland of the problem and stirred them to action and to, again, restate my commendation for Commissioner Saltzman for what he's practically done to address these problems in Portland. And in part, I think my vote today is in recognition of that it's not just a symbolic gesture. It's an additional mechanism to try to publicize all of the good work that has been done. Aye.
Leonard.
I am concerned that the tradition of lowering the flag would take on new tasks. The lowering of the flag has traditionally been done in honor of those who have defended the country, whether that's members of the military, a president, a fallen police officer or firefighter. Those have been fairly consistent themes throughout the United States. But beyond that, I don't know how one intellectually sits with a person representing women who have either been abused or have died of domestic violence and explains to them that lowering the flag to half staff is appropriate for children but not for other victims of domestic violence, including the elderly. And I am deeply concerned that once this passes, we can look forward to a litany of other groups that represent people who all of us have our hearts go out to. I think it would be difficult for me, if this were to pass, not to agree to accept others who want the flag lowered as well. But then finally, the language of the ordinance and Commissioner Saltzman's acknowledgement that children that die of any violent death, and of course children are those under the age of 18, would be recognized as well. I can imagine, I don't think too far-fetched, a scenario whereby a 17-year-old member of a gang was involved in gang violence and as a result of that died. I'm not sure the community would appreciate having the flag lowered that month for that reason. So I, too, like my colleagues, appreciate Commissioner Saltzman's work defending abused children and women, but I think that this is the wrong avenue to use to do that. No. Fails. Carla, please read item 344 on the regular agenda.
Authorize the Office of Management and Finance Business Operations to acquire the Made in Oregon sign and related property and permanent and temporary easements through the exercise of the city's eminent domain authority.
Thank you, Sue. I'm going to call forward Tom Miller from Mayor Adams' office, Ty Kogach from my office, and Linda Meng, the city attorney. Just hold on that one second, Ty. About 2 years ago, I met with the owner of the buildings that the U of O now occupy down in Old Town, Art DeMarrow. He continues to be the owner, and the University of Oregon leases those buildings. As he explained, the plans for the development of the University of Oregon building, he indicated at that time that the sign would be changed.